everybody. It's TJ.
And Celine.
And we are back with another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out Two Nerdy Things. I was a little off.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I was fast, I think.
You were, but that's okay. I didn't keep up with you.
I couldn't keep up?
I can't keep up.
Okay. Gotta keep up.
Yes. All right. Well, today, what are we talking about today? Today, we are talking about the differences between the two songs, Bootylicious by Destiny's Child, a classic, mm-hmm. and Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. Mm.
The differences?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because did you know that they have the same hook?
I did read that, and then I listened to the two songs a long time ago. The differences, though, I don't know if there are a lot to find there. I feel like the message is the same.
I mean, you've got one that's the Edge of 17. And then,
which is about an orgasm.
Yes. And then the one about Bootylicious.
Which is about
delicious booties.
Yeah.
I mean, they really go hand in hand.
Honestly, like, you have an orgasm thinking about delicious booties. So yeah, I'm on the Edge of 17.
Or your delicious booty gives you an orgasm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Duh. Yeah. I mean, really, the differences are not, there aren't that many. Minus Stevie Witch being a witch. Stevie Nicks being a witch.
I understood what you meant.
Freudian slip.
Yes, exactly. But I will have you know that whenever that song comes on, mm-hmm. I never know if I'm expecting Edge of 17 or Bootylicious.
Let's be serious here, though. Like, for real.
I'm for actually real. Being serious.
For real. Whenever Edge of 17 comes on, I'm like, Bootylicious. And then I'm yeah. like, oh, no, it's Edge of 17. And then vice versa.
Yes. Because so I was listening to my iTunes the other day. And that song came on. And I thought it was Bootylicious. So I was like, Beyonce, can you handle this? Kelly, can you handle this? Michelle, can you handle this? I don't think they can handle this. Woo!
Yeah.
And Stevie Nicks started singing. I'm like, bitch, ruined my moment. So, no, I'm just kidding. We're not actually, we actually did talk about it.
Yeah.
It's funny. We like pretend we're going to talk about it.
We always do that.
And then we end up talking about it.
We always do that.
Yeah, but that actually, it did come on the other day, and I was so excited because I hadn't heard Bootylicious in forever.
I don't think you're ready for this.
Jen, I don't think you're ready for this, and my body too bootylicious for you, babe. Really was a good song. It is. I love Stevie and Destiny's Child for different reasons. Anyways, no, that's not what we're talking about. What are we here talking about?
We're here to talk about Miss Marvel, Episode 4.
Episode 4.
I can't find the title for some reason.
I just saw it too and I don't remember.
Seeing Red?
Maybe. Sounds familiar.
Yes, yeah, Seeing Red. Episode 4 called Seeing Red.
So, the show has been complete now for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And
we can be honest. We already told them.
We were on the path to greatness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
So I think last episode or the one, whatever episode we lost.
It was last episode.
I explained to you guys that I got really sick and had C. diff, which is a bacterial infection in your stomach. And you get what, you know, I call internal showers. Some people call them the Hershey squirts. I don't know. It's kind of to your
shitting through a screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Shitting through a screen. And I went on vacation, so we were gone for like a week, and I started to feel a little something-something in my belly.
Internal showery.
Yeah, I was just feeling icky, and I kind of figured, but it was so sudden that I was like, oh. So I kind of pressed it off, and then I went to the doctor when I got back, and lo and behold, my C. diff came back. And I texted TJ in a flurry to ask his mom if it comes back, and she was like, yep.
Yes.
So.
C. diff, I guess, can come back a couple times. It is extremely hard to get rid of.
Yep.
I really hope this is the last of it. I mean, not for my own selfish being, but just for you too.
Yeah, no. I hope so too. I am going to see a specialist this upcoming Wednesday at midday. It's like 2 p.m. Yeah, I'm taking my lunch and go to a doctor. I'm like,
where is it?
I'm Minneapolis.
Oh, gross. So you're going to be coming home right in rush hour traffic. Ugh.
Yeah, my mom's taking me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're hoping for the best. I've been on another round. My stool test for the second time, or like, I've taken so many stool tests at this point, but my stool
test. She's a pro.
I really am, actually. It's kind of horrifying. My stool test came back negative, and I told TJ to come over, and we hung out.
We didn't want a podcast. We just kind of wanted to hang out.
Yeah. We just hung out, and I don't even... Oh, we went shopping.
Out of excitement. We did, yes.
Yeah, we went shopping.
So yes, I was like, I don't think that we hung... I'm like, we didn't hang out here, though. Yeah, what did we do?
No. We went shopping. We went book shopping, and then, yeah, did our thing. We walked around.
It was fun. We did it again the next week.
I know. It was so fun.
And had just as much fun, if not more.
It was a lot of fun. And I have to... It's super contagious. I don't know if I've ever said that. I know we said we can't get rid of it, but it's super contagious. So when I get it, I try to limit my exposure to people, especially because, like, I'm sharing space. But I'm also now very OCD about the toilet. So both toilets are, like, constantly covered in bleach or toilet cleaner, like one of the two.
It's not a bad habit.
No,
not. If you're being honest, I mean,
you probably should be after you go poop or something. You know, be wiping it down.
Yeah, because I mean,
because it is
E. coli isn't fun.
No, and like, and poop is very like, it's dirty. It's like gross.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now I've gotten very anal about the toilet. So our bathroom,
no pun intended.
You probably know this. The bathroom constantly smells like bleach. My toilet cover is like completely discolored because I've used so much bleach spray on it. And I use like three different cleaners on that toilet now. I use like a bowl cleaner. I use the wand and bleach, like disinfectant spray and Clorox wipes to like every time I go to the bathroom now. It's insane. Mason's like, you're horrific. I'm like, I don't know what's happening in my butthole, but I need to keep it contained to just the butthole.
Yes. Agreed. I will always think when people say butthole is funny.
Butthole is funny.
Because it's just such a weird word.
Butthole and sphincter are weird words.
And it's just like, people say butthole, I'm like, I don't know, I'm like a child. That makes me laugh.
When people call each other buttholes, so I'm like, mm-hmm. You have one.
Mm-hmm.
You're a butthole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, unfortunate.
Yeah.
That it happened, but you're doing well.
Doing good.
And you were even doing well when you found out you had it.
I caught it super early. I just knew things were off.
Yeah.
I told you in the Ozarks. I told you what happened. I'm not going to tell you guys what happened.
I don't know if you told me what happened in the Ozarks, but you could tell me after.
I will tell you after then.
Yeah,
so I like caught it very early. I like knew, you know that pit of your stomach, you know, literally it's the pit of my stomach, you knew. I was like, I have it again. And I'd already like kind of thought it was something that could come back because it's so contagious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're good now. Hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be good for the rest. But I'm going to a special infectious disease doctor. So.
Yeah. Which, you know, sucks that it happened. Totally threw off our timeline for
everything.
The show.
Yeah.
But, or the show, the podcast.
Yeah.
We're not live.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's not
we did do.
We edit.
Yeah.
Not like we edit anyway.
No. But yeah, kind of threw off our timeline for things for our listeners.
Yeah.
Six listeners or whatever it is now. But we're back.
At it again.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Ms. Marvel. Like I said, we finished it weeks ago.
So we might not talk a lot, but we'll talk enough.
Yeah, we'll cover the bases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to begin or do you want me to?
I can. I mean, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So this is the episode. It's right after her grandma's like, Betha, you have to come here, Betha. And she's like, what? And then all of a sudden, the next episode, seeing Red, they are on their way. They're on the plane, literally. We get that pan to her mom, this random dude, and Kamala in an airplane getting ready to go to Pakistan. So they are going to Karachi, Pakistan. And it is... I'm going to tell you guys now, it looks very similar to how what I imagine probably India and other places, but it looks very similar to Istanbul, like a very big, very just concentrated, full of people city.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's very similar to Istanbul. I think you, Mason, probably agree.
So you'd know more than I would.
Yeah, it's very, just like a lot of people, a lot of smells, a lot of shops everywhere, and just like haggling. It brought me back because they were like, I'll pay you 50 whatever for this pair of whatever. And I'm like, oh,
which is funny when, because they actually did do that. They're like, I'll pay you, or I give to you for $9.95 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, $5. No, or whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of when you guys went to Turkey.
Yep.
And
it's funny how that stuff has like,
yeah,
translated to it, my life.
That's probably more common actually in
most
in
world.
European,
yeah,
country, or most of the world, yeah,
yeah,
than it is here, because here the set price is the price. Anyways, and I remember you telling me about how like Mason really liked this wallet and the guy was trying to charge him more because he was American.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom was like haggling with them, and I mean there's a whole story behind it, but
my mom, for those of you who don't know me, looks very white. So she's very white passing. So he probably heard Mason speak English and thought my mom was American too. And she's not.
No.
She's very Turkish. And she just turned around and was like, are you charging him more because he's American in Turkish? Because my mom, I just want to like paint a clear picture of my mom. My mom has no fear of other people. She doesn't care what you think of her. She has no business. Like, what you think of her is you, on you. Like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
She really, like, has no... She always says it. She's like, it's not my problem if somebody doesn't like me. It seems like that's their issue.
I think also it's partly the way she grew up, too.
That's how it is in, like, that part of the world, though.
Yeah.
You're taught just, like...
Just very blunt.
Yeah, mind your business.
Right.
Or, like, whatever. So, my dad's the exact opposite. He's very calm. It reminds me a lot of Kamala's parents. Like, her dad is just, like, bubbly and just, like, oh,
yeah,
Kamala, like, come here. My dad's like that. He's just like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Do you want anything? And then he'll make a joke under his breath about something. And my mom is like,
ah! Yeah.
Everybody!
Yeah.
So, I relate. I think maybe one of the reasons I really like this show is how much I relate to,
yeah,
it. It could be why I liked it so much, because I understood her.
Yeah.
My parents were much less strict than her parents, I will say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, throughout watching it, I mean, hell, you knew a lot. I mean, granted, there's a lot of similarities of
culture.
The culture.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you were... I think I said this before, but I think I probably learned more from this show than I have any other show.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I had my guide, Celine, to help me. but, yeah, it was... I thought it was a very interesting show.
It was.
And going back to when they were haggling, it reminded me of the story that Celine told me about her husband, Mason, and, what was happening was like how I envisioned,
mm-hmm,
the exchange going,
yeah,
on.
That's
so
kinda nice to get like a visual.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
So it was kinda cool. Anyways, go ahead.
So after landing in Karachi, we are met with her cousins and her grandmother to pick them up from the airport. And we come to find that her grandma lives in a very big house, which
grandma's got bank.
In that part of the world, having a house that large, having a house in general in that part of the world, is very rare.
Yeah. And
let alone a large house.
Granny has, like, a mansion.
It's a full-blown estate, I would say.
Yeah.
She has
staff.
I mean,
granted, probably not like a mansion, like Cali mansion.
No.
But
like,
for that part of the world,
yeah,
like,
still,
it's a very nice house.
Even for, like, this part of the world, it's bigger than my house. It's, like,
yeah,
three of my house.
Yeah.
It's got, like, a wing. She literally was like, you're on the right wing, Kamala.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? So
yeah,
her grandmother has money.
Yes.
Which is interesting to me that they didn't dive deeper into that. I'm hoping that they explain why Muniba didn't, like, retain her help at all, you,
mm-hmm,
know, when they got to America. Because she was very blunt about, like, I was struggled when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she gets to meet her two cousins, and they also, she has a dog, Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's very rare too, to have like a house pet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In the Middle East, having like an animal inside your house is very rare.
Yeah.
Because in Muslim culture, dogs are considered unclean.
Oh.
So they're like,
interesting. Dogs, I didn't know pigs, that.
And like, yeah, they're considered like outdoor animals. Like, you can have a pet dog, but typically they're raised outside.
They're outside animals, yeah.
So to see Magnum and him like be in the house and stuff, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I learned something new tonight.
Can you take it from here? I'm like losing my
head. Yeah. So, we find out Granny has bank, and that Muniba grew up
wealthy.
Or her parents were wealthy. She probably wasn't wealthy. But yeah, she... I don't think Kamala knew that.
That she... had wealth.
Yeah.
And
we don't know, like, how. Mm-hmm. Not that might not even be an important part of the story, but Kamala is exploring the estate.
First they go to like a yacht club. Remember? They go to lunch at like this weird country club, and she's not allowed inside because she's wearing jeans.
That's right.
She's literally dying from humidity. I only remember this part because you literally looked at me and you were like, that'd be me in Istanbul.
Yep.
I was
like, oh, yeah. Yes, I remember that now. Yes, they go to, yeah, it's like a yacht club. And yeah, she's not allowed, Kamala is not allowed in because she's not dressed for the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just dying. And I would be too.
Yeah.
I imagine where they live is a fairly warm climate.
Yeah, it's super humid.
Very humid.
I mean,
very.
I'm answering like it's Istanbul. Istanbul's very humid.
I imagine it's similar.
It's in the Black Sea.
Yeah. Right. So she's just dying, and it's hilarious. Doesn't she deviate from the party?
So later on, Muniba leaves, and Sana and her cousin Sana. Is that her cousin's name? Whatever. Her two cousins, the guy and the girl. They all go shopping and walk around like the square and whatever, and she asked them to take her to the train station so that she could look at like for historical reasons, I guess, is what she said, and they were like, we're not coming with, it's that way. And so she goes, wanders off on her own, she has superpowers, so I guess I get that confidence,
right? I guess I do too, but like, she's also a girl, a young girl
in a city she doesn't know
in a country that I'm assuming is not known for being the safest.
Most of those I hate to blanket statement things, but you know, here I go. Most countries that are Muslim based typically are pretty dangerous for a woman, especially a woman alone.
Right. Granted, she does look like everybody else there. She's not.
It doesn't matter.
It's not like me going.
Well, it doesn't matter what you look like. If you're a girl by yourself, you're in, and it's like, it was during the day at least, so that's okay. But like at night, you're SOL.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah. Why did she go off by herself? I don't remember.
Because they didn't want to go to the train station with her. They just wanted to go home. She wanted to go see the train station because that's where her grandma was saved by a.
That's right.
Stars.
Yeah. Yep, because she's trying to find out. That's right. She was trying to find out the history of the bangle or the bracelet. That's right. Okay. That's what happens when we don't. Yeah. When we can't podcast it right away. Not that that's your fault, or my fault, or anyone's fault.
And that's when she goes to the train station.
Yep.
And that's when she has to use her power for something. And I don't quite remember what, but somebody in a red hood like mask sees her. And realizes what she is. That's when we get a first taste of the Red Dagger Society.
Yes.
Yep. Who thinks, and this character, whose name is Kareem, thinks that she is a clandestine.
Yep.
Comes to find out that she is not, and eventually befriends her and shows her into the society, which was like actually pretty quick, I thought, for how easily he dressed her.
Yeah.
So I was like,
true.
I was like, yeah. Damn, boy.
Like, there's no screening process here?
I was like, pussy that good?
What? Yes, it was.
That was very fast. You're just like, hey, like, let's go see the like clubhouse. I just want to point out, I don't know if I've ever pointed it out in this podcast for Miss Marvel, Kamala has like 3 love interests.
You know, for a girl who thinks that she's a dork, she can get it.
Holy shit.
And mind you, these are not unattractive men.
They are all boys. Cute. They are all very adorable.
Right. Like,
they're all adorable. They're super cute. Kareem's hot.
Yeah.
Kamran is hot. Bruno can also get it. Right. I looked up all their ages. They're all over 18, so I can do this.
Okay, good.
So they're all, like, very cute guys, and I just don't know if I've ever had it where there's 3 different love interests and, like, blatant chemistry. Like, she fully has chemistry with all these guys.
Yes. Yes, she does. She has chemistry with every single person that...
I don't know if she's just adorable and, like, in real life and just, like, gets along with everybody.
Probably.
I think it probably is that she's very likable. She seems like she'd be likable.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, they essentially introduce a third love interest and...
And Waleed, the leader of the Red Daggers.
Yeah. And you kind of get to learn about them. They're basically a group of protectors.
Mm-hmm.
Sworn to defeat the clandestine from, I guess, disturbing our realm.
Mm-hmm. To taking over our realm.
Yes.
Because what they want to do is basically... open up a portal that will overwhelm Earth 616 and, like, basically bulldoze over it and have their world.
Yeah. I'm really bummed that it's not 626. Like
Stitch? Stitch.
Experiment 626.
They're all by the same... Why didn't they do that? I guess comic book accurate, but whatever.
But I was like, that would have been so funny if it was Earth 626.
Such a good Easter egg, too, for mm-hmm. Disney.
Yeah. Anyways, so yes, they're a group that is protecting Earth from, kind of like Doctor Strange, protector of the realm, but in a different way.
With less superpowers.
Yes.
AKA no superpowers.
Other than her.
Yeah. So finally this whole time we've been unable to read what's inscribed on the bangle because it's written in old Sanskrit, which is nearly impossible to read. You'd have to actually go get a PhD to read that. So nobody's been able to translate it for her, but Waleed can read old Sanskrit, because of course he can.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. How are you a leader of the Red Dagger Society if you don't know all 58 dead languages?
Right.
You know? And he reads it out to her and says, what you seek is seeking you. And she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, it must have meant something to somebody at some point. I think verbatim almost what he says, actually, I think. He said it doesn't know what that means in this context, but it must have been important to somebody.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the Department of Damage Control, which is hilarious that they're called the Department of Damage Control, the clandestines get out because they were arrested. And they finally get away and leave Kamran.
Mm-hmm. Because he essentially betrayed them.
Yeah.
To protect Kamala.
Yeah. Which is because, you know, he's also in love with her, too.
Naturally.
Same with Bruno. He basically...
Naturally.
All of them. Yep. How does she get that much ass?
She gets more ass than the toilet seat.
Damn. Pussy be gold.
She probably can make it.
Vice grip. Vagine using your power. Seems uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But worth it.
But not unattainable?
This is bringing this to like a different place in my head where I'm thinking more and more of what she could do with her power. Yep. It's not great.
Oh. Oh. Anyways.
So, like, we find out that the clandestines leave, and it's actually like a pretty short scene. It's like they have a small fight scene, they escape and leave Kamran, and then it immediately jumps back to Karachi, mm-hmm. where Kamala is like hanging out with Waleed in that little I think it's like a Chinese bistro, and they're like shooting the shit with his family, and she's really enjoying herself and hanging out.
Yeah. Being a kid?
Yeah. Just being normal. And we do get a scene with Muniba and Sana. So that Sana is the grandmother. Muniba and Sana arguing about Aisha, Sana's mother. And what it means.
The woman who disappeared.
Yeah, the woman who disappeared and what it means. And like just kind of basically telling her to stop. Stop telling all of this. Like, stop feeding into her.
Muniba telling her grandmother, yeah. her mother to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And telling Kamala.
And I forgot about this scene, but eventually we're told, and it's said, how embarrassing it was for her mother to say all this all the time, and it was the reason why she left and came to America. We were told that. Her mm-hmm. stories and whatever.
That's true.
So then Kamala goes back to the Red Dagger Society, and Waleed gives her a piece of fabric that, like, resembles her culture, and similar to, like, how Superman kind of is given his piece of his cape or whatever, like, that kind of moment. Mm-hmm. But then the clandestines appear, and it's Kareem, Waleed, and Kamala, and the clandestines appear.
Okay, hold on.
Did I miss a part?
No. Did they travel, like...
Oh.
Like... Because it's not like you can just get there. I mean, it's going to take probably minimum 16 hours to get there.
That's a really good question. Was it their power?
I just don't remember if they explained that, or if they just... Whatever.
I don't know if they did explain it.
Might be a minute detail, but...
No, I don't think they did, but that's an interesting... Because it was within, like... hours.
Yeah.
So they must have used magic. I would imagine, unless they got the first red eye out there.
But even then, it's probably minimum a 16, 20-hour flight. Not that it matters.
There's multiple layovers. There's right. not a direct flight to Karachi from New Jersey, I would imagine.
Right. Anyways. So yeah, because I remember when they appeared, I was like, how did they get there so fast?
That's a good question. I didn't think that.
Yeah.
When they get there, it's actually like a pretty cool choreographed fight scene that I would equate to like a dance. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It reminded me actually of old like karate movies, like mm-hmm. the flow
yeah.
of it, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like that kind of.
Kind of like Shang-Chi.
Yeah, like very beautiful. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they took a note from Shang-Chi like that.
I wonder if it was the same choreographer.
Yeah, could be.
Or choreographer.
I think you'd say it both ways. Choreographer? Yeah, you
could
say both ways.
Sounded wrong. Anyways, yes.
So, Kamala and Kareem try to hide, and we see, I think, probably one of the first, like, on-screen with Kamala deaths, which is of Waleed, the leader of the Red Daggers, which was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, because he seemed pretty neat.
He reminds me of my dad. He looks like my dad.
True. But he seemed like a pretty cool character.
He did, and it would have been cool to explore it.
Yeah.
So I was intrigued by that.
He was an interesting character, and it was a bummer that he was only a minor character.
Yeah, it was a bummer, and it was... Yeah, I would have liked to hear stories. It seemed like he would have had a lot of interesting things to say.
Agreed.
But he does die, and Kareem, instead of staying behind... He decides to take Kamala, and they run into the city, pretty much. It's like every chase scene you've ever seen in like New York, in an action movie. Imagine that, but with superpowers.
And a lot smaller streets.
Tiny, tiny streets. So it proceeds to be one of those chase scenes, cat and mouse games, and it actually lasts a lot longer than I kind of thought it would.
It was like a major part. Of the end of the episode.
At least like 10 minutes, it felt like.
Yeah.
And
it was a cool fight scene, or chase scene. It was different.
Yes, and finally, Najma gets to her, and finally Kamala, and she grabs her by the bangle, and a huge, like, spray of light happens, and it's like an energy shift, and...
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Kind of foreshadowing something else, but yeah. Yes. I didn't realize that till just right now.
So, at that point, Kamala is, after that energy shift, we get, like, the commercial break or whatever, those small breaks. Kamala is transported back to the partition. So she is, this is the episode where she's transported. I thought it was the next one. It might be mixed into the two.
The next episode is, she gets transported, but we don't get to find out where she was transported to until the next episode.
Oh, that's right.
Because okay. Kamala doesn't have a big part in the next episode.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a brief synopsis of the episode, I guess. That was a shorter episode, I feel like.
It was, but that's also because the fight scenes were longer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was a good episode, though.
It was
neat. It was funny because I actually looked up to see if they went to Karachi. They did not.
I imagine not.
I'm assuming because it's probably dangerous. They went to Thailand to shoot the Karachi scenes.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of cool. I mean, they got to go across the world to shoot them.
I think Karachi wouldn't give them permits.
Probably that.
I don't know if Karachi is that dangerous. It's less dangerous than, like, the Middle East because it's technically... not the Middle East.
Yeah.
But they definitely are very, very strict.
Right. That's why, I would think they probably had a hard time getting any sort of permission to go over there. But interesting that they still got to go to Thailand and film those scenes.
Do you know Thailand isn't that dangerous?
I thought I've actually heard that somewhere.
Yeah, it's people think it's scary because there's, like, a lot of, like, ladyboys and, like, sex clubs and whatever in the red light district, but it's not, like, actually dangerous.
Yeah.
There's not, like, a whole lot.
Like, I heard that from, like, Angelina Jolie or something, that it's actually, like, not as bad as people think it is.
There are, like, way more, like, for example, I read Detroit has more crime than Thailand.
That's because Detroit's Detroit.
8 Mile, yo.
Talk about the armpit of the U.S.
Like, that was, like, 5 years ago. We're actually worse in crime than Detroit right now.
I know. Which is crazy. Yeah. Because we're not that far away from it.
No.
So that's... Anyways, that's a different topic, but yeah. It was a good episode. Mm-hmm. A lot of action, a lot of story. I will say that the next episode probably gives you the most story out of any episode.
Yeah.
And has a good aha moment. I would say it's probably the best episode of season one.
Which goes with the trend of Marvel.
Oh, episode 5. Episode, yeah.
The best one, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. We do also get an important piece in this episode of Kamala's costume. She gets her mask.
Mm-hmm. Because
she finds it at a street vendor.
Yep.
And it is cool how her costume is slowly coming together.
Piecing together.
So we do get that this episode, and she wears it a lot, actually. She wears it quite a bit. And yeah, it was a good episode.
It was a good episode.
I don't really know if I have much more. I got nothing more to say about that.
I do not either. I do not.
Okay. Well, if that's all we got, TJ and Celine.
Oh.
And my body too bootylicious for you, babe. I don't think you're ready for this, Jenny. I don't think you're ready for this. And my body too bootylicious for you, baby. Yeah. I switched it up.
That's fine.
Because we were talking about bootylicious.
Bootylicious.
So.
Bootylicious. Yep.